The Gospel as written by Mark. Now, after Jesus was arrested, he came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." People, I changed the word. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Well, wrong notes. Okay. So, contrasts in following, taking my hand in two metaphors, in two readings, and a reading. Today's gospel reading, second reading that Maddie gave to us so wonderfully, doesn't tell the truth. But it's the standard lectionary. It left out what you know, and that is when God called him. What did Jonah do? Boom! He got out of Dodge. He fled God's word. And the story in wonderful imagery is that he took a ship and sailed off with the crew into the probably Mediterranean Sea, and they were beset by a great storm. And Jonah said, "Hey guys, look, this is all because I'm refusing to follow the word of God. So throw me overboard and the sea will settle." Sure enough, that happened. And of course, now we have that glorious feeling that he is swallowed by a whale that spits him back up on the land. And God calls him again and says, "Hey, Jonah, come on." Second time. That was our reading today. But the first time he fled. I'm not going to go into the details, but chapter 4 of Jonah is a lot of fun. Because after God spared Nineveh, Jonah sat in a pout under a bush. "What's going on, God? You know, you said you were going to destroy them. I knew all along you weren't going to destroy them. That's why I ran away. No. I'm going to sit under the bush and pout." So God straightened him out. Okay. Wonderful story. Have you ever in your life, and I suspect the answer is yes, been in the belly of that great whale, struggling with a decision, struggling with a sense of calling? And it could be various callings in life. These callings can range from who am I, what is my sexuality, what is my gender, what am I? And in Catherine's, in my case, it's where do we move now? And I was in the belly of a whale for several months before accepting the call to come to Dayton the first time. And look what happened. We came back a second time. These are real human reactions to life in many times. These struggles come from within us, from instinct, our upbringing, our beliefs or faith, our self-knowledge. Just exploring and letting us know who we really are. Many preachers and vice presidential candidates say, God called me and said, do this. And I want to ask, where's that red telephone on your desk? You know, God calling. But they believe it because the story within has compelled them. And that must be God calling. Sometimes it is. A task, as Nefsi said, our responsibility is to figure out who we really are, to discover that, and then to become the person we are truly meant to be. We heard a wonderful testimony to that reality yesterday. Thank you, Manny. How are we to know if it is a good calling, given that many times such decisions are life-changing? A new path, you don't know where it's going. What new doors are going to open or close? What are the consequences? We can't know. It's always a risk. Some of the changes are fairly minor. Do I have to go to the grocery store now or tomorrow? I'm going to leave those out for now. But I recently read, I want to go back and comment. Thich Nhat Hanh and Mike created dialogue of the first meeting, which Phil did a beautiful job with. Oh, boy. He nailed it. He said, suggests that we not think of our life as being some sort of task that we must accomplish. How many of us have gone through life saying, I got to get there. I got to accomplish this. I've got to be a member of this ICE grouping of people in my profession, whatever it is. And when it doesn't happen, grief, self-doubt, depression, whatever. I met a person recently, divorced many years ago, and this person was despondent over their life. The person said, what am I supposed to be doing now? This can't be all of my life. She's in her 70s. This person is in her 70s, had raised 2 children, been successful in many jobs. At one point, this person felt destitute, but along the way, she regained footing, got a PhD, developed a professional career, and engaged in many social action issues. But this person told me, I'm only in my 70s and feel my life so far has not achieved what I should have achieved. What a burden. She said, I should be doing more to make things better in life for others. She couldn't accept just being, as Thich Nhat Hanh said, at some point we must just be present. What I got from him, from Thich Nhat Hanh, is the advice to attend to the quality of that state of being on a regular basis. It takes quiet time. It takes a commitment to sit back and just be. The Buddhist phrase that goes, non-action is action, sounds conflicted, but it isn't. Non-action is the action of being. It is a time of serious reflection, feeling gratitude, which was my suggestion in this case, and even happiness for one's past good accomplishments, or sometimes it is making art, listening to music, or even creating music. Going, for me, is being in the mountains of Colorado. I live there in my mind. wonderful times. This is a state of quality being, as Thich Nhat Hanh said. When one then stands, metaphorically, that is action. And you're prepared then, not just to stand, but to move forward. To be in the here and now, he said, fully alive, fully present. The choices of what to be done can be done in a spirit of freedom, liberation, and joy, he said. I am not seeking to disparage those who do feel somehow that it really is a calling from God and a service they have to perform. But where is it going? What is the end point? When do you decide it is enough? I am happy I can be here. For many of us, we've had rich and productive, challenging, changing lives. It is okay sometimes to just accept that as your blessing and as your life. I also don't want to ignore the gospel reading. So these guys jumped to follow this very charismatic leader, embodying this fantastic sense of joyful love that he had found on his retreat after baptism. And they said, oh, leader, take us with you. What happened at the end? They failed. They ran away, according to some and probably likely readings. They went back to fishing because that's what they knew. They said, well, that was a great run, but now it's over. I have a hypothesis. It was the women who kept it going. It was the women who were with Jesus. It was the women who pulled that community back together. It was the women who said, we're going to feed the poor, the hungry. We're going to do what God called us to do. And by the way, guys, step up. And let's get together at this reception center in Jerusalem. And there, they had their own spiritual encounter that in fact stuck this time. Well, these are real things, but the fact is we're humans. We're fallible. Sometimes we can't make the call, and it is up to us to accept that and to be gracious, be thankful for all the grace that has been bestowed in our lives. I welcome any comments.